Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Big goal, big deflection for Lucas Raymond, who missed a wide-open net early in the game, ends up with the game winner. Wings sweep the season series with the New York Islanders. It's unfortunate they can't play them more often. It's one of the few teams they've been able to beat this season.
Yeah, head to the Stanley Cup if they could just play them every week.
82-0 against them, right? But no, they've won two of the last three. They've got three coming up at home. They got a long way to go. I don't want to oversell people. They got a long season. Way to go. But yeah, I liked seeing goalie play step up a little bit. Liked seeing a little more offensive possession. Some better chances. Dig themselves out of this, please. Please, as someone who's invested in going to a lot of these games, most of them in the back half of the schedule, please. Pistons won last night without Cade Cunningham. It's Toronto. We're going to take any win we can get for a team that struggled all of last season. Pistons win by two against the Raptors. You had the Spartans and the Wolverines. It's too early for college hoops. You and I can agree on that.
Oh, yeah.
But they are playing, and at least they're winning. Both teams had wins last night. MSU's out in Hawaii, right?
Yes.
Out in Maui playing hoops.
Maui Classic.
We got some ticket text to get to, and a thought from last night's Monday night football game. Would we see Dan Campbell do what John Harbaugh did? Ticket texter says the Wings have shown no ability to play good hockey over a 3 or 4 game stretch. Says 20 games in, they're just not a playoff team. I mean, I agree right now that's true.
Yeah, but the playoffs don't start this weekend.
Astute observation.
Thank you.
The biggest takeaway from a Spartan basketball fan is someone needs to tell Izzo it's time. I can't keep watching the same team year over year with round of 32 as the ceiling. And a texter says the Wings sabotaged themselves last night. They had a chance to lose and get that coach fired. Hope they enjoy another mid to crappy season. So a lot of positivity on the ticket text this morning.
Yeah, apparently a few things stood out to them.
No kidding. All right, John. We had the Harbowl last night.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim got little brothered again. Lost to his big brother. Super Bowl and now Monday Night Football. And John Harbaugh did two things in that game that I thought were uber aggressive. The first, 4th and 1 from his own 16, trailing in the first half, he went for it. And he got it.
Mm-hmm.
Could you see Dan Campbell doing that?
Yeah, we've seen it. 4th and 2 from the 17. That's Kansas City. Fake punt. Picked up 3. Boom. Score. Win.
Yeah, I don't think that would surprise people.
No. I mean, it's because it's been a part. I'm more surprised. I know John Harbaugh is big into analytics, and he has been on the forefront of some of the more established coaches that are doing things like that. But and so I guess I'm a little bit more surprised that he did it at that spot on the field at that time of the game. Now, if you're going to do it,
go ahead.
That's the time to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's late first half. You are getting the ball out of half. I think a lot of coaches, 9 out of 10 coaches, punt the ball there. I think we have one of the exceptions in Detroit, and I think Baltimore, some of it is your personnel, right? You have Lamar, you have the run threat. I know they went direct snap to Mark Andrews. But yeah, your personnel says 4th and 1, go for it. Detroit has the personnel with Frank Ragnow up the middle in this backfield and this offense to go for it for a yard. So that first decision, yeah, I think Dan would do. The second decision John Harbaugh made that I loved, and I don't understand why more coaches don't do this. You're up 1. You score a touchdown. You go for 2. They were up 17-16. If you score and go for 2, you go up 9. You go up 2 possessions.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get it. You're only up 7, but okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel like... It feels like all reward, very little risk. John did it. They didn't get it. That's okay. It was still only a touchdown. It was still a full touchdown that they were leading. I'd like to see more coaches do that, John.
I think we are at this point in analytics and coaches, more frequently do we see them do what they did in the first half, right? Go for it on 4th down in a compromising situation. I think we're on the verge of seeing more coaches go for 2 in what we would traditionally think as bizarre, you've got to kick the extra point. If you go for two, you're crazy. I think we're about to see a shift. In the next couple of years, we are going to see more coaches taking the chance to go for two, even on very pedestrian score, you know, situations.
I think the advantage is there.
I think it within the next couple of years, call me crazy, and I know some people will, I think within the next 3 to 4 years, we're going to see a situation frequently where, hey, a team goes down on an opening drive, 6-0, go for two.
Interesting.
Because of the odds. As more and more coaches do it and the data starts to stack up, especially if you believe you're an offense that's going to score more than just one touchdown. So all you have to do, if you score two touchdowns, is be 50%.
Right. Well, it's the whole deal with what the Bears did this weekend, where they were down 14. It's the whole thing. You go for two after the first one. And if you don't get it, you're going to go for two after the second one. And at least you're tied, where if you convert the first one, you can win the game at the end. So, yeah, we're seeing coaches start to color outside the lines a little more. And you're right. I think it's just the beginning of it.
I think it's the beginning of it. And it's also because of the quarterbacks that we see.
You're right.
Anthony Richardson. I could totally see he'd be a guy like Lamar Jackson, like Jaden Daniels, like all of these other quarterbacks that you can say, hey, they're in that situation. Every guy is in the backfield is a runner. And it's not just a quarterback like Goff. You know, you're not going to see him run it for a 2-point conversion. It's just not part of the playbook.
Get to your power search coming up in 10 minutes. The 6 best teams in the NFL, according to John Jansen. Greg Palm at 7:02. We're cramming all the rankings in today with the short holiday week. Let's get to Heather's news.
Well, Jameson Williams will not be facing charges in connection to that traffic stop that took place early October, where he was briefly detained for allegedly carrying a concealed weapon before he was released. So on Monday, Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy released a factual summary about the incident and said no charges will be issued, in part because the laws regarding the concealed pistol license are not clear when it comes to specifically what happened during the traffic stop. She also made it known that they didn't consider the fact that Williams is a professional athlete in the city while making their decision. They said that had no part in how they decided to not press charges.
It's basically the interpretation of there was somebody in the car that had a concealed license.
His brother.
Was he, you know, were the both of those, could they classify him as his guns?
And for J-Mo, for his sake, glad that this is
even though he said,
him.
No, that one's mine.
I know.
I think all parties involved wanted this one to move along.
Yep. The future of the Renaissance Center could include demolishing two of the towers. It could look a whole lot different. So under this proposed revamp, this is by Bedrock and GM, the tallest tower in the Rensen would stay standing, that center tower, with two others being completely just destroyed. And Bedrock and GM say that they would be funding the majority of the project, but some they would need to rely on public funding. So this new plan, like I said, it includes tearing down two 39-story office towers. Those are the ones closest to the Detroit River. They're then going to remove the base of the complex, and they're going to use the new open space to improve riverfront access from downtown. They say that this whole plan is expected to be presented to local and state leaders for funding approval in the coming weeks.
So it sounds like it's more, they're not going to replace it with another structure. It's going to be more open space.
It's going to be open space.
That'd be nice.
Basically, there's just way too much space there. Like nobody is using
wasted.
These. Yeah, it's wasted space because these offices are not being used. Yeah. They're just sitting there empty. So then they say the other towers would be transformed into housing, some office space as well. Then there's going to be a mix of hotel rooms and housing on top of that Marriott as well. So kind of like revamped use of what's already there.
We had talked about this. I mean, that they had to do something.
Remember somebody called in and said, no, I know what it's going to be. It's going to be a casino.
Oh, yeah.
Remember somebody said that that's what it was going to be? I mean, I'm kind of glad it's not.
No, but if they're going to use public funds, then will that land eventually be just owned by the public? Like, will that be public property?
I doubt it.
Yeah, it doesn't seem I have no idea.
That's going to be, I think, part of the question and selling point of if we're going
to
use public funds, could somebody, somebody down the road put another structure there?
I don't know. Nationwide, the TSA is gearing up for a record Thanksgiving travel number. So there's going to be lots of people flying this week, even into next week, I think, depending on when they're going to head home. But here in Detroit, airport staff said that they're prepared to handle a big spike in crowds this holiday, and they're asking people to come prepared, right? Which is kind of what you should always do when you go to an airport, just make sure you know what you're doing. But they say, hey, make sure you're there several hours before takeoff, which is what they say always, but they say really with the spike in people, you need to be there early. So 2 hours early for domestic flights, 3 hours early for international flights. They say they're expecting about 44,000 passengers on Tuesday, 44,000 more on Wednesday. Busiest day will most likely be on Sunday. People heading home. But they also said, make sure you know what you have in your luggage, which your carry-on,
just
which is like
things
normal things.
Yeah,
but like,
don't have your liquid and have it ready to go.
Just be prepared. Know what you can and can't bring onto an airplane and have things prepared. Common sense, I guess, really. Finally, some people eat Thanksgiving dinner in the early afternoon. Some people eat it later in the evening. We kind of debated about this, what you enjoy doing. Well, experts do have the perfect time to eat Thanksgiving dinner. You should eat it, according to these experts, earlier in the day. An early dinner is the best way to go, especially because this is the day you really overeat.
So early dinner, what does early dinner mean? Because that's obviously a later lunch.
Well,
they don't put a time on it, do they?
They don't put a time, but they say
experts,
you want to have your body done eating like at least 3 hours before you go to bed.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so yeah, I mean, you could eat at normal time, five o'clock.
Yeah, you'd be fine. Right.
Exactly.
However you want to do it.
That's Heather with the news. Didn't see that coming. All right, we got the Power Surge next, 97.1.
All right, you guys, listen up. The holidays are here. That means you've got to get your girl the perfect gift, and I know exactly what you need to get her. Get her a beauty package from Beauty Bird Med Spa. You can choose from any number of their premium offerings. They've got Botox, filler, microneedling, and don't worry if you don't know what those things are or don't know which ones to pick. Amy Wise and her team have you covered. They're going to walk you through everything, and they can create a personalized package your ladies will love. Plus, they're going to be in great hands. I was recently there. I saw Amy and I couldn't be happier with my microneedling treatment. So don't struggle with the holidays again this year. Visit them in Commerce or head to mybeautybird.com today. That's mybeautybird.com.
All right, what's this guy think this week? John, your top six teams in the NFL, let's do it.
Well, it's always kind of a bizarre ranking, and it's not bizarre in the top six. That's sorting itself out. There's been some movement this week because some teams had some close calls, had some losses. But it's really on the teams that are on the fringe. Like, who are the teams that are just outside? They've been bouncing around. Last week, we talked about Minnesota, the Chargers, Washington at 7-4, Green Bay, Arizona, Denver, Houston, the Niners. Like, there's been some movement in the teams that are right there. Now, the Niners, all right, we kind of have put them on the way back burner.
They're dead, right?
At this point. Well, I don't necessarily think they're dead because of the division they're in.
Yeah, but they're not playing well, right?
Well, they're not playing well, and obviously we saw what happens when Brock Purdy's not there and so many other guys, but they're 5-6. They are one game out of first place in their division. You got two teams that are 5-6, the Rams and the Niners, and the Rams didn't look any better.
Nope.
We've talked about them on the fringe every once in a while, but the Cardinals, really? The Seahawks are in first place?
Someone does, in fact, have to win.
Yes. Well, it's kind of like the NFC South. I've got Atlanta. They are below the line in everything, but they are in a position to win their division. Tampa is right behind them. And now that they're starting to get a little bit healthy. Mm-hmm. I'm saying keep an eye on. All right. Atlanta, I don't have a lot of respect for what they're doing. They're below the line. But Tampa, keep an eye on Tampa. Some other teams to keep an eye on. Miami. That's a team with a healthy Tua Tagovailoa. It's a complete. Now, they're not going to win the division. And as of now, they are, what are they? They're only one spot out of a playoff stretch.
Do you know their schedule the rest of the way? Six games to go. Three of them will be outdoors.
And in the North?
Green Bay, Cleveland, and the New York Jets.
What do we make of Cleveland? Yeah, they're kind of owning their division, except they can't win outside the division.
My point is for Miami to make the playoffs, they're likely going to have to win at least two of those outdoor games.
Sure.
Tua said this week he's out to kill narratives. Well, first test is Green Bay this weekend.
But what I'm talking about, Miami, Denver, who do you believe more in regards who's going to eventually make the playoffs and who makes the playoffs eventually making a run in the playoffs? A healthy Tua Tagovailoa, Mike McDaniel calling the offense. I'm not sitting here saying they're in the top six or even close to it. I'm just heads up.
Sure.
Keep an eye on this team. All right, another one. Obviously, we talked about Seattle. Houston. That might have been the worst loss that Houston has had on their schedule. Losing to the Titans, and especially the way that they did. C.J. Stroud has taken... Last year, it was, okay, here's the baseline. Feels like he's taken about three steps back in his sophomore season. The Chargers, the Broncos, just keep an eye on them, and let's see where this goes. The Packers, outside looking in, but 8-3. And this is the division. We talked about it at the beginning of the year. How many teams from the NFC North make the playoffs? I still think there's going to be three teams.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at this point.
Minnesota, obviously the Lions, and the Packers. Now, we'll see a big game this weekend. Keep an eye on Steelers. What do you make of the Steelers? They were in my top six last week. They're out because of that loss to the Browns. And I'm talking about the Browns. In that division, they've been great. Outside, not so much. So let's get to our top six. Last week, Detroit at 1, Buffalo at 2, Kansas City at 3. 4 was Pittsburgh, 5 was Philly, 6 was Baltimore. What do we do with Philly? All right, so let's start from the bottom up. Number 6 in the power surge this week with a nail biter, gave up a lead, could have lost in overtime, but didn't. The Minnesota Vikings at 6 at 9-2. What do we believe of Sam Darnold? If he doesn't turn the ball over, this team could win just about any game. But I don't believe that Sam Darnold's going to play a whole lot of games without turning the ball over.
It feels like begrudgingly they're in the power surge, right? Like the record requires them to be here, but they don't actually look the part of one of the 5 or 6 best teams.
So here's one of the reasons that Minnesota ended up making it. One, they're 9-2. But they just had 3 games on the road. And anytime you go on the road 3 at a time and get 3 wins, that's a big deal. However, their 3 wins... was a 12-7 nail biter against the Jaguars.
Yep.
It was a 23-13, not convincing win against the Titans. And then obviously we saw what they did against the Bears, albeit a division opponent, but the Bears are a dumpster fire and it took them into overtime. So not great opponents, but they did win on the road. Baltimore, with their win last night, they move up one spot to number 5. They're 8-4, kind of a schizophrenic team who shows up. What I liked about last night's game was they showed up and they played bully ball. They played physical. They knew they had to do that against the Chargers. They got back to the run game with not one, but 2 backs and obviously Lamar Jackson. So I like what they're doing. I like where they're heading. As long as they continue to play a physical style of football, Baltimore will keep moving up, or at least they'll be in position to move up. Number 4. 10-1 Kansas City.
Ah, there it is.
Overtime with Carolina. And I mean, it just not overtime, but just the last
nail biter.
Last second kind of felt like it should have gone to overtime. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes does Patrick Mahomes things, finds a way to win, but you keep playing with fire with bad teams. They've won, so they're 10-1, but there's just nothing to me says dominant team or should be in the top 3. Philly moves up to number 3. Now, the one thing about Philly is they start really slow. They can dig themselves into a hole. They've been able to dig out of a lot of holes, but they have been convincing. Obviously, you know, 17-point win against the Rams on the road Sunday night. Nobody's going to be impressed by a win at Dallas, but it's still a road win. It's a division opponent. The Commanders at home, that was a nice controlled win. And Saquon Barkley is playing damn good, healthy offensive line. But you know, some injuries starting to mount up on defense. Number two, no change here. Buffalo Bills bye week. Not going to drop them down. It's still an impressive win over Kansas City. They are playing really good football, and the Lions. Hold on, and not only hold on, but solidify the best team in the National Football League at number one.
So I think there's a great debate here. I think Philly has played better than Buffalo, but Buffalo's got some notable wins. Most notably, they beat Kansas City.
Right.
To me, though, Philly is the better running team, the better defensive team. I think they're the better football team. And I think there's a fun debate with 2 and 3. The Lions are clearly number one, and I'm happy that you have punished Kansas City. They're no longer undefeated. We don't have to pretend. They're not that good. They're undefeated, but they're not 1, 2, or even 3 in the NFL right now.
So I don't know if you have it up right now, but Philadelphia, what's their best win?
Yeah, I mean, they beat the Packers, who are a team you have just outside the power surge. That's probably their best win on the season. They did beat Cincy, who I think is still kind of looming in the shadows. They won on the road at Cincy, and that Commanders win looked a lot better at the time than it does today.
And with having what we say about the Chiefs, that's the best win for Buffalo, but they've got two losses. And okay, good losses at the time, good loss against the Ravens, but the Texans have kind of fallen apart since. Tom.
Yeah, but the Texans are, what, still 7-5? And
division leader.
The Lions have a loss to an under 500 team, by the way.
It's the only loss.
I know. I'm just saying. But the Lions are number one. I'm not picking apart the Lions. They're number one.
Yep.
I just think, Jim, I'm going to give you a chance to take a mulligan. You just said the Chiefs aren't that good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to what they were the last couple of years.
Compared to 1, 2, and 3.
They look exactly like last year.
Hold on. Compared to 1, 2, and 3. Number two beat them. Number one has been blowing people out by 2 touchdowns. If you want to debate Philly,
I didn't put
Kansas
the Chiefs
City,
number one or two.
Right, so you would debate
three and four. But okay. I'm going to what you said. You said the Chiefs aren't that good. I'm willing to allow you to walk that back because we can save that audio for January if you want.
I think if you play the entirety of the audio, I said as good as the teams ahead of them 1 through 3.
Okay.
Because I understand that they're the two-time back-to-back Super Bowl champions, but there's nothing wrong with placing them 4 right now. I'll stand by that.
That's opinion. I mean, you got opinions right now. Chris Canty was just unveiling his on ESPN. Biggest top 5 threats to the Chiefs. So he's still putting the Chiefs at 1 because of record and their past. Okay,
yeah, reputation.
Everybody has their opinions like we just went through here. But he said that the Eagles are a bigger threat to the Chiefs than the Lions.
Interesting.
Any quick takeaways, Tom, for the top 6?
No, I had pretty much. I mean, we're just, you know, moving around 2, 3, and 4. I have the Bills, too. It's the Chiefs-Eagles debate. I had the Ravens. I do think people are sleeping on the Vikings. I mean, to me, they have 2 very good losses. You know, the Rams have been a solid football team this year. They played them out there on a Thursday night when the Rams just got healthy and were desperate.
The Rams are sub 500, but...
Right. Yeah. Well, so are the Buccaneers.
Buccaneers have at least had some major injuries. Yeah. But anyway.
One note. John's number 3 team, Philly, will play John's number 5 team, Baltimore, this week. Huge game for everybody.
Let's go, John Harbaugh!
That's the Power Surge, 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to take the time to get to know you and build a financial plan that fits your situation. And when you leave with that financial plan, they also know life happens, as it has for me, and they're willing to adjust that plan and guide you through all of life's twists and turns. And when you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Mark Champion on the call. Pistons beat the Raptors. Wings won last night against the Islanders. Michigan Hoops won. Spartan Hoops won. This morning, you can win. We got the two Grand Slam coming up at 7:25. A chance to win $2,000. We've got Lions head coach Dan Campbell joining us today at 8:02. Short week, Thanksgiving week, Bears in town. Long overdue for a Thanksgiving win.
Yeah, it's been, what, 7 years?
Yeah, it's who's counting, right?
Well, yeah. And it's recently it's been division opponents.
Yep.
Obviously, Green Bay last year. And so the Bears this year, we'll get a chance to see, can they get back onto a winning path on Thanksgiving?
We will have Greg Palm at 7:02. Again, short week. We want to make sure we get those college rankings in. I am very curious this week because, well, we had six teams in the top 16 lose last weekend. What happens with Indiana? What happens with those SEC juggernauts? Who gets punished? Who benefited? We'll get to it top of the hour. John, it's also Michigan-Ohio State week. I don't have to remind you of that.
Is that this week?
It is this week. And I saw something from Cleveland.com, their perspective on the game. I was looking around. What are they? Because they got to be all amped up, right?
Sure.
This is a chance to pummel Michigan. Cleveland.com columnist Jimmy Watkins asks the question, can you exact revenge on a ghost? And this is what he writes. I'd like to know where Chargers coach Jim Harbaugh will be on Saturday. Seriously, has anybody seen the Michigan coach? Because Ohio State football wants to teach him a lesson, but Harbaugh's already graduated to the NFL. Former Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy, former running back Blake Corum, and many other recent Michigan faces have too. So as Ohio State plots a three-hour lecture concerning who owns the rivalry, I'm wondering, can you exact revenge on a ghost? He wonders if they'll actually get the satisfaction that they want, saying, I don't think winning this game will feel as good for Buckeye fans as they think or want, no matter how wide the margin of victory. John, your thoughts?
Well, if they win.
Oh.
If they win.
Three touchdown underdogs.
I've been a 17-point underdog in that one and still won. So it's possible. They're not going to care. If Jim Harbaugh, did Michigan care that Urban Meyer wasn't there in 21? Not one bit. In college football, the turnover, now it's not always the coach in these, you know, in when you're talking about blue blood programs, that is what changed. But players change all the time. In fact, even more rapidly and more frequently now than ever before. But you're not going to sit there and tell the fans, oh, just because Blake Corum isn't there, that this matters less? Or because Jim Harbaugh is not there? Who was the head coach of that game last year? It was Sherrone Moore.
Sherrone Moore.
And so yeah, it didn't matter to Michigan in 21. When we were jumping around and the fans rushed the field. It didn't matter that Urban Meyer wasn't there. Jim Harbaugh was not going to have a chance to beat Urban Meyer. So individually, maybe there's... You know, maybe there's not much as much satisfaction. Ryan Day isn't going to get the opportunity to beat Jim Harbaugh. But that's not going to matter to the fans. It's not going to matter at all. I think the bigger question is, you know, will they rush the field if they win?
No, not as the higher ranked team.
You wouldn't think so. I mean, and so because my kids asked that question last night, do you think Ohio State will rush the field like we did in 21? And I said, well, I doubt it because they're the higher ranked team. Yes. They're favored by three touchdowns. Plus, it's not been a 17-year streak.
Yeah, I was just going to say the drought
is, three.
Is much less. I just thought it was an interesting article. I think I'm with you ultimately. Like, yes, Ohio State's going to get their revenge if they win this game.
Right.
It will still be satisfying to swing the pendulum. Ryan Day desperately needs it because the alternative is he loses to a six-win Michigan team and is laughed out of Columbus.
Well, but I will say this in terms of the rushing the field. We had won 3 years in a row in 98 going into that. They were the higher-ranked team. And after we lost down in Columbus, they rushed the field.
Interesting.
So there are some there's some uniqueness when you talk about rivalry games. Rankings going into it, sure, they matter from a betting perspective. They matter for a lot of different things. But when they talk about throw out the schedules, throw out the rankings, throw out the, you know, the records, fans at that point, especially the lunatics in Ohio,
they'll eat it up regardless.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's interesting because the column goes on to say, let's try talking trash. Hold this L, Michigan quarterback Davis Warren. You're going to rue the day you ever took a snap against Ohio State.
Again, it's not the individuals. It's the programs.
This one says, get embarrassed, Khalil Mullings. OSU didn't forget the 15-yard pass to go with one carry you completed at Ohio State 2 years ago. I hope you remember this loss as much as last year's national title. Oh, wait.
Does anybody remember who that pass was to? Greg?
Colson Loveland.
Nope. Colson Loveland did score a touchdown in that game. That was to Luke Schoonmaker.
Interesting. And the last thing he says.
Fun fact. No one really cares.
I do get those two plays confused.
Yes. Yes.
And if you think you've escaped this verbal wood chipper cornerback Will Johnson, after all the angst you've caused Buckeye fans, I hope this loss makes you feel... Oh, right. Johnson was ruled out for next Saturday's matchup a week early. Assuming he enters the NFL draft next spring, he will do so with an unblemished record against Ohio State. This is all to reinforce his point. Like, he doesn't think Ohio State's going to get the satisfaction that they crave from this matchup because they can't undo three straight beatdowns by the Wolverines. They can't undo the swing back to a national title for Jim Harbaugh. They can't undo the pain of those last three seasons. So he asked the question, can you get revenge on a ghost?
Just watch if, and again if, Ohio State wins, just watch Ryan Day's reaction and tell me if he has any satisfaction in this or not.
All right, we get to Greg Palm coming up next. It's 97.1.